in our hearts for all that you've done, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you will remove me from this and let your Spirit and your Word speak for themselves into the heart of each person that needs to hear, Lord, that you love them and you care for them and that we can be truly thankful. We can say thank you, Lord, in many ways. So, Lord, I just turn it over to you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, you know, Thanksgiving is like several Sundays we have throughout the year. Now, as Baptists, we don't follow a liturgical calendar. Now, for y'all that aren't familiar with what a liturgical calendar is, in many denominations they have a calendar which they are told what to preach on each Sunday. They are given a specific verse to teach out of. They don't even have to write their own sermons. No, I'm not jealous of that, so if any of you want to know, I love getting into the Word of the Lord and seeing what I can gain from it and what He wants me to pass on. But there are certain Sundays what you know you're going to preach about. Obviously, on Christmas Day, we're going to preach about Christmas. We're going to preach about the Incarnation, Jesus becoming man. And then on Easter, Resurrection Sunday is what I like to call it. We preach on the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, Thanksgiving is one of those Sundays. And there's usually several different psalms or texts that we go to. And I wanted to make sure that you understood that Psalm 100, I know you hear it all the time at Thanksgiving, but last year I preached out of Psalm 92. So you're not getting a rerun. Okay? I went and checked I keep all my sermons in a thing, and I went and make sure, okay, that's Psalm 92. Okay, I can preach on Psalm 100 this year. And Psalm 100 is special to me. You see, I am of a generation of a time when in Thanksgiving of 1976, in a public school, I had to memorize Psalm 100 for a class grade. Can y'all imagine that nowadays? There'd be lawyers standing outside 3 foot deep, deeper than the snow in Buffalo this morning, because if someone did that. But I think it was a wonderful experience, because that was literally, outside of Psalm 23 in a Bible school, that was the first scripture I had to memorize. And it means a lot to me because it tells me so many things about how to give thanks. It also tells us why, but it's the how that I love. So I want you to turn to Psalm 100. And it's going to be in the King James, because that's what I memorized it in. And I'm going to read through it here, but I'm also want to tell you that at the end of the service today, we're going to read it all together as a psalm of thanksgiving. So, Psalm 100, only 5 short verses. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. He is thankful unto them and be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." And my fourth grade teacher would be extremely proud of me for that right now. Because when I did it the first time, I was like, "Praise ye the Lord." What comes next? So, you know, when you got there, you boomy, and it's good. We celebrate this time of year. We want to give thanks. But what do we celebrate? We celebrate the providence of our God, the incarnation of God in Christ, and the newness of the beginning of new year. You see, I threw 3 holidays there in together. We celebrate thankfulness. Then we celebrate what we're thankful for. And then we celebrate what we can do with it in a new year. It's amazing. It is good that we have the opportunity to proclaim these gifts from God to His creation. And we will do so. Now, the first of these celebratory commemorations is what we call Thanksgiving. Now, I'm not going to give you a history lesson, and the Pilgrims, and John Bradford, and the Plymouth Rock, and the first Thanksgiving, and all that stuff. We know enough of that. But you see, they wanted to give thanks unto God, just as we should want to give thanks unto God. They wanted to set apart a day to enjoy God's bounty and return the thanks to Him. Now that's the end of your history lesson. But I want to settle on the desire of true Christians to follow the Word of God and actively celebrate His goodness. Isn't His goodness and His mercy that endureth through all generations, isn't that what we long for, we cling to? We want His mercy and His love. For it is He that hath made us. He is our Creator. He is our great Shepherd. We are the sheep of His pasture. And these are things we need to understand. It is good to set aside a yearly communal remembrance. Yes, we have it with the family. Yes, sometimes we have it with ourselves. But it's good to gather as a congregation, as a body of Christians, to celebrate the ability to give thanks unto Him that deserves all thanks. Now, no better illustration in the Bible for this purpose can be found, I believe, than Psalm 100. Now, like I said, there's other psalms, Psalm 92 we mentioned earlier, that can be used, but Psalm 100 best encapsulates the ideas of praise and thanksgiving. So let's break it down a little bit. We'll keep that up on the screen so you can see. The first thing it tells us to do, and these are imperatives. These are commands. These are, you better do this, from God Almighty. Yes, it came through the hand of a man, the psalmist who wrote it, but it was inspired by the Spirit of God. And it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, not just His people, everybody give thanks unto the Lord. Now we know, cynically, that not everybody's going to do that. Who do people give thanks to? You know, if you aren't a follower of God, most of the times, who do you give thanks to? You give thanks to yourself. You pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps. You went to work. You went to school. And everything I have is mine. Let me tell you something, brother or sister. You don't have nothing if you don't have a heartbeat. Who gave you your heartbeat? Who gave you the intelligence? You may not recognize it and you may not admit it, but God has given you all the good things you need to be successful in life. And even if you're not successful, you can be thankful that He is there with you during the times of trials and troubles. So we can make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We are to make merry. We're to have joy. We're to be happy in the presence of God as we give unto Him the praise He deserves. You know, parents, one of the greatest things we have as parents is when our child does something good, does something incredible, does something that we could never imagine that we could have done, and we praise them. We are joyful for them. We're happy because they accomplished this. We give them that praise. It is good to give praise, and it's the greatest to give praise unto God for all the things He has done for us. We can have joy. We can celebrate. It doesn't mean we're going to go act all goofy and stuff, but we can have joy. We can smile. We can tell stupid jokes. Amen, Brother Allen? Y'all don't know, we tell some corny jokes between us, and it always brings a smile. I'm not going to say the one we did this morning because some people may take that wrong, but it wasn't dirty, I promise you that. Okay, it was just a play on words. But anyway, but in this light, we must also understand that there are times that we must come before God in sorrow, in sadness, sometimes even in fear. But you see, during those times, we can still be thankful and we can be joyful. Why? Because it is God that who we go to. We don't have to trust in ourselves. We don't have to trust in other people. We trust in Him who made us. And it is a wonderful feeling to have that. And we can be even more grateful that He is our God. He is a real God. He is the only God that we can make a joyful noise to. Now the second verse says, serve the Lord with gladness. First command, make a joyful noise. Second command, serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence in singing. We are to serve Him. Now, here's the thing. No one person serves the Lord the exact same way as one other person. Now, they may be similar, but they're not the same. God has given you your mission in life, your purpose in life, your calling in life, whatever you want to call it. But the fact is, it belongs to you. And God is the one who has given you that. You serve Him. Now serve, hence at the word servant. We are the servants of God. Yes, we are the children of God. But even an heir to the house, the Bible tells us, is still a servant. He still does what the Father says, even though He owns everything like the Father. The Father has given everything into His hands, but we're still servants. We're to serve the Lord. And what attitude are we to have when we serve the Lord? It's gladness. It's joy. And showing that joy means that when we come before Him, we sing. We sing praise. We sing adoration. We sing joyfully. We make that joyful noise. You may sound like, you've heard me do Mr. Haney up here, okay? You know people that sing like that, God bless them. But they're making that joyful noise, and to God it's as beautiful as a 300-person orchestra and a 600-person choir. It's beautiful because it is from the heart. And it is from the heart that joy comes. Verse 3 tells us, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." This tells us why we're to make that joyful noise. This tells us why we're to serve the Lord with gladness and why we're to come before Him by singing. Because He is God. And besides Him, there is no other. There's no one beside Him. There's no one in front of Him. There's no one behind Him. There's no one above Him. There's no one below Him. He alone is God. And He makes Himself known to us through Jesus, the Son of God. God the Son. And in those things, we can know beyond all shadow of a doubt that He is God. Yes, will doubt come? Of course it will. We're human beings. There's going to be times of, we talked about of sorrow and sadness and fear and all those things. And there will be times when we say, "Lord, what are You doing?" But at the same instant we say that, we know that He is God, or else we wouldn't be talking to Him in the first place. Think about that for a moment. Even in our sorrow, we can be filled with the knowledge that He is God, that He is our Creator, and that we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. What is one of the names for Jesus? It is the Great Shepherd. And you know, the reason that we hear the word of Jesus, the reason we obey that word of God through Jesus the Son, is because we are His sheep. Did not He say that His sheep know His voice? They will not go to the voice of the hireling. They will not go to the voice of none other, but they will recognize the voice of Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, believe me, that's why you got to be spirit-filled. Because when you got all the false Christs and all the false shepherds out there calling for your attention, the Holy Spirit is what guides you to the real voice. And you will know that voice, and you will go to that voice, and you will cling to that voice. Because we are the sheep of His pasture and none other. We acknowledge His authority and status as our Creator and our God. Now, this is difficult for man due to our own pride and self-reliance. We might say, "Well, yes, God made us, but I'm the one who did all this, and I'm the one who did all that, and I'm the one who earned the money, and I'm the one who did that." Brothers and sisters, we go back to that statement about the heartbeat. I don't think any of us in here is dumb enough to not think that we're only one breath or one heartbeat away from eternity. Many of us had been next to family members or friends who one minute they're here and the next moment they're not. And in that knowledge, we understand that it is God who has made us and to whom we return. You know, there's the old funeral saying, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. As Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I will return. We have nothing except what God has given us. And because He loves us, He's given us everything. He gave us His own begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We cannot rely on ourselves. There's an old Puritan phrase that says the only thing we have given to our salvation is the sin that made it necessary. Brothers and sisters, if it was left to us, we would all lose our salvation. But it is up to Christ, because His promises are solid. His promises cannot be broken. God does not lie. And if He said He saved us, He saved us. Because we are His sheep. And His sheep know His voice. The great shepherd protects us and loves us and watches over us. Yes, the sheep sometimes can get out of the pen and go get caught in the briars and fall down the cliff. Yes, we can. But He is there. He is there for us. So now we go to verse 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Now when we come before the Lord, how do we come before the Lord? Do we come, oh, Father, thank You so much. I love You. Praise Your name. Bless Your name. Yes, there are times when we must do that. And then there are times, Father, I'm going through this trial. Lord God, please help me. And there are times for that. But I don't believe there's ever a time, yeah, Lord, I'm here again. Appreciate it. Yeah, thank You, appreciate it. All right, thank You. See you next time. Do we do that? Yes, we do that. We should never do that. We should come before Him, before the throne, in reverence and awe. Or we should come before His courts, before His throne with praise and thanksgiving, and into His courts with the same praise. We should do this because He is God. We do this in our hymns. We do this in our sermons. But we must do it as a daily part of our lives, not waiting on our church services. When you realize you drew your first breath of the day, you should be thankful unto God. How many of us, and you don't have to raise your hands, this is rhetorical, how many of us, the moment we wake up, thank You, Father, for another day. Many of us do. Some of us don't. Because the devil has caused all kind of other things to pile upon. Now, folks, I'm preaching to Christians now. I'm preaching to believers. Because we must give thanks. Don't let the world's cares, however strong, however fierce they may appear to be, remember the promise of God, that not one hair on your head will be harmed. And be thankful. Well, what if I die? What if I have cancer? What if I get killed in a car wreck? What if a burglar breaks in and shoots me? In the eternal sense, if you belong to Christ, has one hair on your head been harmed? No. Because you're now part of what God intended you to be. Justified, sanctified, and now glorified. And you can give thanks that He was with you. Evil will be punished. You don't have to worry about that. You can read Revelation, you can read Daniel, you can read all kinds of books of the Bible. It tells you that evil will be punished. You don't have to worry about that. You let God take care of that. But for you personally, give thanks every moment that you realize you can. Because you may not never have another chance in this life to give thanks. So take the opportunity that He gives you. We're to bless His name every chance we get. Bless His name. What does that mean? I've been blessed out a few times, but I've never had my name blessed. How many of y'all are in that boat? That didn't go over very well. It was like a lead Hindenburg. But I'm going to tell you, blessing the name of the Lord will cause you inside to be strengthened. Because it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that God gives you the words to bless His holy name in praise, in thanksgiving, in gratitude, in song. however you want to do it. God gives you the strength. And now we come to our last verse. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Why do we praise and give thanks unto the Lord? Because the Lord is good. Do you praise people that aren't good? Maybe if you're stupid. But you normally don't praise people who are evil. God is not evil. God is good. And His mercy, notice this, His mercy is everlasting. There is nothing you can do, with the exception of rejecting Him, that God will not forgive. His mercy is everlasting. What if I kill somebody? Well, ask Moses. What if I deny Him? Ask Peter. What if I run around? Ask David. What if I doubt? Ask Elijah. What if I get scared? Again, go back to Peter. Every sin that man can commit, with the exception of dying in your sin, God will forgive. I'm sorry, folks, there's no cycle of reincarnation. We don't get a second chance. Once you close your eyes on this side of the Jordan, your decision is made. And you are where you wanted to be. You're either with the Lord, to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. Or you're in Hades awaiting the judgment. I'd rather be the first. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. What does that mean? That's a good King James English way and said, I know that God has me in His hand, and I've given Him my soul, and I trust Him to keep me forever. Not anything old Charlie did, but everything that my Savior Jesus did. Why? Because His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. His truth, the gospel truth, the truth of Jesus Christ as the only way to God, lasts to all generations. It does not change ever. It never changes. Well, you know, we understand the Bible different from today. No, what you understand is mankind's preoccupation with wanting to get away with what you think you can get away with and still go to heaven. It doesn't work that way. If you're thinking that way, you don't have faith. You have a life insurance policy. And brothers and sisters, if you're counting on anything other than the blood of Christ, His mercy, His forgiveness, His grace, to get you right with God, you got another thing coming. You got another thing coming. Because that truth never changes. So what are we to do with all this information? We are to praise Him today. We are to praise Him tomorrow. We're to praise Him the day after tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, as long as you are drawing breath. Praise God. First, for the fact that you can draw breath. And second, that He has given you the opportunity to be in a place where you can return thanks unto Him. This celebration is for His saints, His people, His children. That is us who believe. That is we who believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As it was stated, we are His sheep. He is our shepherd. We feed in His pasture. He is our Creator and our God. To His name be praised forever and ever and ever. Amen? Amen. So we are to give thanks unto the Lord with all our hearts. So what I want us to do, if you have your Bible, please turn to it. You can see it on the screen. I want us to read Psalm 100 together. Psalm 100, starting with verse 1. Ready? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Brothers and sisters, never, never miss an opportunity to praise the Lord and to give thanks unto His holy name. Praise team. As we finish up in here today, I want to remind everybody that you've got to have something to be thankful for to be thankful. And if you have God, if you have Christ, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have everything to be thankful for. Even if you are in the midst of a trial or persecution or an illness or anything like that, you have the ability to be thankful because God is there for you. He is always there for you. Sometimes we don't listen. Sometimes we'll shout out a prayer and then we'll shut our ears. Oh, Lord, help me with this, and then I'm going to try to do it myself. Folks, that's stupid. Now, I think you've known me long enough that I don't sit here and put flowers around words. If something's stupid, I'll say it's stupid. And brothers and sisters, we've got a lot of people in this country, in this world, that see the greatness of God, that see the miracles of God. Not only just what He did in the Word of God, the Scriptures, but what He's doing all around us every day. And they ignore it. Don't ignore it. Let the Holy Spirit open your eyes to see the beauty and the gracefulness and the grace that God does all around us. And let us be thankful. Brothers and sisters, as we do that, we are reminded that we are His sheep. You know, I had a pastor friend of mine one time. He was trying to be silly. He was teaching a bunch of youth, and he got up in the pulpit, and all he did was go, "Bah, bah." And they kept saying, "What are you?" And all he would say was, "Bah." And he was trying to teach them that he was a sheep in God's pasture. Now, I'm not going to sit up there and do that. I ended up sounding more like a camel than I do a sheep. But I want us to understand that. And it's a wonderful thing. Because as a sheep, I'm cared for, I'm loved, I'm fed, I'm pastured. And I have so many brother and sister sheep out there. It's amazing why we're not more thankful and more have a greater spirit of gratitude than we have. Let us not make that mistake again from this point forward. Let us go into His presence singing.